This episode is sponsored by Coors Light.
The world's most refreshing beer in the world.
Don't drink until the Rockies turn blue. And welcome back to Your Average Podcast.
My name is Ant.
My name is Panda.
That was our practice into whenever we get a great sponsor, and it would be a straight. That wouldn't be a straight read ad. That would be a straight read ad. Okay. Anyways. Yeah,
but we independent, so we sponsor ourselves.
Yeah, we sponsor ourselves.
This podcast is sponsored by us.
It's us, and there's no justice. It's just us.
No justice. Yeah, it's just us.
Yep. Anyways, guys, enough of the shenanigans. How you doing? I see you enjoying that refreshing drink over there.
It's not bad, man. I was indulging in this Monster Mule.
Yep. Non-alcoholic, guys. He's not drinking on the job.
Yeah, talking about drinking, I actually cut back.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going out on Wednesday night?
Oh, somewhere? I did go out last Wednesday night. Oh, shit. I had to go run a special.
Oh, there you go.
And the guy was all like, first two rounds on me.
Can't say no to free beer. Yeah, that's a weakness. I think a lot of people have. Like, hey, first round on me. Okay, cool. I guess I'm staying.
Yeah, that being said, if you're in the Dallas area, go visit Thunderbird Station. That's the first bar that I've been to that serves their beer Anthony style.
Which is?
Cold mugs.
Oh, cold mugs?
Frosty, bittery, cold, fresh out of a Yeti, out of the Coors Light, Denver, Colorado snow, frosty.
Yeah, Denver, Colorado.
Frosty mugs make a difference, man.
Went skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing. I'm just telling you that right now. Actually, you know what? I was reading that on a lot of bars that actually, I'm not necessarily sure if it's high class bars or what kind of bars, but a lot of bars don't necessarily do frozen mugs anymore because
they don't.
What it does,
not the ones I've gone to.
Because what it does, it actually kind of dilutes the beer itself. So I think a lot of people are not doing frosty mugs anymore, but a lot of people are doing a little bit more colder beer now.
Well, dilute my beer. I don't care. That frosty mug made me go. every time I.
Somebody's ears right now just got like tingles on the back of their head right now from that. Like, you know what? I'm going to go to the beer.
Every time I was just like.
When is this episode coming out? Thursday?
Yeah, 2 Thursdays from now. The 12th, mm-hmm. If everything goes according to plan.
Yeah, we make this on Friday, it would be like around happy hour. So go enjoy yourself. It's Thirsty Thursday, bro.
Yes, sir.
Go pull off to the side to your local pub or.
Talking about Thirsty Thursdays, you know who be thirsty?
Who?
Do you know who be thirsty?
Who's thirsty?
And I'm not talking about these hoes. Talking about fucking vampires.
Oh, man. Is that what we're talking about today?
We're talking about Chupamablablas.
Chupamablablas. We're actually talking about vampires as a whole. So maybe we'll even throw in Chupacabras here and there in it. We may not. I don't know. It depends on how well we get to. With that being said, we haven't really got an organized way of going about this because there's just so much stuff about vampires out there.
That being said, guys, I volunteered as tribute to get bitten, so you guys don't have to.
Well, there's actually some modern people who actually do that still. They practice vampirism, so they have asked for volunteers to come in to.
You can bite me. I won't say no.
Yeah, they're like,
not you, but
yeah, no, come on, man.
You vampires, y'all can bite me.
So bully to bite you.
I won't fight.
And bully won't bite you. He probably hug you.
Yeah, bully's my friend. Bully is my friend. I love that guy, dog, pup.
Anyways, so what we're getting into is kind of going to be a little, maybe it might be out of order. The best, I think the best way to tell this is to start in the middle, going to the end, and then working yourself way back to the beginning.
So that's his explanation. My explanation is fucking strap in. You're in for a doozy.
Yeah. So if you're listening and it's dark outside, then you need to go find yourself a fire, get yourself some garlic, some crosses, and some steaks, because here we go. So first off, we're going to be talking about Edward fucking Cullen.
No, the fuck we're not. Fuck that.
What are you talking about? Edward Cullen, he's like a badass vampire, bro.
Nah, no sparkly vampires here.
Hey, he's a Batman now.
Oh, that bat. Okay,
he's there a, you he's go. A, he's a Batman now.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, he's a Batman now.
Anyway, there we go.
Yeah.
You may proceed.
I was always Team Jacob anyway, but hey, who knows?
Okay, you like shirtless guys? All right, cool.
Oh, you got me on that one. Okay. Anyway, so just in case you were living under a rock for the past 2,000 years, vampires are a creature, often feigned, that preys upon humans and generally by consuming their blood. That's pretty much the most basic definition I can give you. Historians have believed that vampires are remnants of evil beings or suicide victims or witches that can also be created by a malevolent spirit possessing a corpse or a living person being bitten by a vampire themselves. Belief in such legends become so enthusiastic that some areas it caused mass hysteria, and even ended up in public executions of people who were thought to be vampires. So, you know, when I read that, the first thing I thought of was the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, Salem witch trials.
Yeah, so with the whole mass hysteria thing going on, and people were claiming like, oh, that, you know, she's a witch, that's a witch. And oh man, that's another Monty Python reference. Like, oh, she's a witch. She turned me into a newt. I got better. Anyways, I mean, I really hope there's some older folks out there who actually appreciate Monty Python, because yeah, I think it was like in the 60s or 70s it was made, or maybe early 80s. Anyways, going back to that, but with the whole Salem witch trials and the whole vampire mass hysteria, kind of gave a pretty good contrast about what was going on in, you know, 1600s, 1500s, even 1400s, about people being scared about undead creatures creeping into your bedroom and snatching your children, so you better hide your husband, hide your kids, hide your wife, because
they snatch everybody. So that's one way to think about it. People who are scared and hide, but what's saying that the coin gets flipped on the other side of it?
Which is?
People seeking eternal life, strength, supernatural powers. Okay.
So that kind of gets brought into a whole of the vampirism that I was also reading. It's more modern.
State of mind.
It's more modern now, but there was some examples that I did find about people who had a sort of fascination with blood, who people thought that blood was like the elixir of life. So people would, you know, some people would, if they could, you know, kill people, drain them of the blood, and then drain, you know, then bathe in it or wash in it or consume it even. And, you know, because they thought that it had medicinal purposes or it helped their spirituality as a whole. But that, you know, crime like that possibly could lead to, you know, a mass hysteria about people thinking that there's, you know, creatures that were out there sucking people's bloods. And how we perceive, you know, vampires now is more or less a, you know, obviously it's in that cryptid
entertainment kind of thing now.
Entertainment, but it's also in that cryptid range where, you know, it falls in there with, you know, Nessie and, you know, Yeti and, you know, Bigfoot, whatever. So is there evidence that, you know, there was a vampire back in the day? Maybe. Is there evidence today? I don't know. We'll see. But there are some examples of, like, people who either
portrayed the role
or contributed to the role of the imagery that we now see as vampires today. Now, one of the most notable and pretty much the grandfather, great-great-grandfather, if you want to call him, of the vampire, what did I say, vampire legend is, you know,
Vlad. The counting guy from Sesame Street.
No, that's Count. That's Count. I forgot his name.
I think it's just Count.
It's probably Count. Yeah, it's probably just Count. He did Numbers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I never watched Sesame Street. I was more of a Barney guy myself. Or Blue's Clues. Vlad the Impaler was really the forefront guy of, you know, war and conquering and very torture devices that he had toward his enemies. There was one sense of where, or one instances that he had that he would impale his victims while he ate his dinner. And
dinner as in the dinner he made, or dinner as in the impaled person's dinner?
No, I think the dinner that he made or his chefs made or something like that. So he would just sit out, maybe sit outside on the lawn, watch his victims get impaled on these giant stakes.
He got off on that shit.
I guess so. So that goes to a whole nother... Now it opens up another door of...
Pain and pleasure.
Pain and pleasure. And BDSM, this isn't just your average Rihanna song. So there's truth to that. You're lost right now. You don't even know. Who Riri is.
Open this pit up.
So, that kind of maybe had... that maybe could have had, like... I think with Vlad, that was more likely an intimidation purpose than a pleasure purpose. I mean, hell, he might have
got... this motherfucker was kinky as fuck. He probably got off on that shit.
Yeah. But Vlad was modeled as the now famous vampire Count Dracula, who was, you know, Bram Stoker's character in his epic novel, Dracula. So... there are some other people who also contributed. One I did mention, the one about people, you know, bathing in blood and bathing in, you know, for the immortality, as you would say. And there was Elizabeth Bathory is another example. She was a countess, and what she used to do was her servant girl. She was a countess, and her husband or lord got killed. I want to say he got killed, and so she was pretty much alone in the castle. Or he was off at war, so she was pretty much alone in the castle. But you know, she has so much pull that, you know, she would hire all of these servant girls to come work for her, and a lot of these servant girls started going missing, and nobody could figure out why. And they did not suspect her as being the person responsible. Because she had that green privilege, and you know, they're like, well, we're not gonna mess with her because she's rich. You know, she's a more highly respectable person in the region,
community.
I guess. Community, region. I'm trying to think of village. I don't know, but yeah. So she wasn't suspected, but what she actually did was that she would come into the rooms of these servant girls, scratch them, you know, cut them, and just so she can see that their blood was flowing, and then. She would drink their blood, taste their blood, you know, beat them. Anything she could do to draw their blood from them, that she would do it. And eventually what she used to do, things got so drastic that she would actually hang the victims above her bathtub while she's sitting in it. And she would hang these victims for a certain amount of time, maybe hours on end, just so all the blood can go to a certain area, so where that she would just get a knife and just slice open certain areas, and the blood would just pretty much just freely pour down onto her. And this happened constantly and constantly and constantly. It's said that she had over 800 victims. Speculated.
Gravity, bro.
Over 800 victims. Now, she did finally meet some justice, because one of her servant girls actually did escape, and, you know, she found evidence. She had a book that where I think she kept all of the names of her victims in, and... you know, she presented it to the—I don't know if it's called the magistrate back in the day. I want to say the magistrate, or just for podcast purposes, the sheriff, I guess. And she presented this to him, and like, wow, these are all the missing girls who were missing. You know, why does she have all this? And then, you know, they finally did an investigation. They got that warrant, and they broke up in that house, and they discovered. Mutilated bodies, decaying bodies, rotted bodies, but
can say the bodies hit the floor.
The bodies hit the floor, bro. That's terrible. Anyways, so her punishment, because she was still a countess, so she was still of high, you know, high privilege, we'll say, she could not be executed by anybody there. So what they decided to do was that, well, you know what, you're going to stay in this castle forever. So this is your high, this is your real definition. This might have been where home imprisonment came from, or home, what is that word? House arrest. There you go, house arrest. She was under house arrest, but this was like hardcore house arrest. Literally what they did is they locked her in a room and they started bricking up the windows and bricking up the door so she could never ever leave the room. And that's how she spent the rest of her days, locked in a room.
So how did they get her food and water?
She didn't. They didn't.
Starved her.
Yeah, they starved her.
So they basically pulled that move in Sims, because don't you fucking say if you play Sims you never did this. You delete the door and you just watch them die.
I never played Sims, so I don't know.
Oh, just me? Alright, sorry guys.
Anyways. I never played Sims. So, yeah, they basically just left her there to die, and that was pretty much the end of Elizabeth Bathory. But she does, like I said,
what a way to go out, bro.
Yeah.
Who's to say she could still be alive?
I was going to say that. I was like, well, they're, you know,
all the rituals and all the stuff she was doing, she could still be kicking.
Yeah, she might have maybe, you know, paid somebody later on, like, hey, you know, let me out, you know, because she was still rich and
she was well off,
everything like that. Yeah, so there was a lot of vampires back in, you know, in that kind of day, in the early 1400s. We also have vampire stories in Asia. There is the, oh, I don't want to butcher this name, Chinese Chongqi. I'm going to say Chongqi. It's an evil spirit that attacks people and will drain their life energy by drinking blood. These wrathful deities appear in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. So, there is another one that was called the Dancing Demon or the Dancing Devil, where people would carry these prisoners, as you say, or people who were, I guess, committed some crime, but they were
not crime enough to be like sentenced to death. Petty crimes.
I'm trying to think of the word. I'm losing all the words today, man. I'm like confronted. I don't condemn. Condemned. There you go. Condemned. That's the word I'm looking for. Condemned. Condemned to, you know, death and whatnot. But as people would, and mainly whenever this would happen, they would, you know, walk these people at night. So whoever was walking past them were kind of like, oh, you know, and they held rags over their heads so people wouldn't, you know, see them and know who they are. But sometimes, you know, these rags kind of deformed, you know, over time. You know, they, you know, obviously cut eyes so people could, you know, so they, the prisoner could see where they were walking. And a lot of these times they were hopping most of the time. And people would say that was called the jumping demon. And reason why is because there were stories about these people coming back to life and, you know, preying on the innocent and drinking of their blood and so on and so forth. So, you know, mainly what the vampirism that we see today is. A lot of it could contribute to the bamboo that they used to carry the prisoners with or to walk the prisoners with was springy. And maybe that kind of got the whole jumping demon, because they would kind of go up and down, up and down, up and down the road. Instead of just walking straight, they would kind of go up, down, up, down, up, down, so that...
Well, maybe they had their ankles locked up.
Or shackled too. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good explanation.
And instead of scurrying around, maybe it was easier for them just to hop.
The hopping demon. There you go. The hopping demon. There you go. That's pretty cool. So, as you can see, I mean, there's vampires from, you know, Europe. There's vampires Asia, obviously, in you know, North America as well. There's a lot more vampire stories as far as in ancient Egypt. There's vampire stories as far as in Africa. There's vampire stories as in hell. Even I think even Australia even has some as well. But the vampire thing is like so crazy because it's so old, but it's so like kind of fascinating with the whole thing, because I mean you're pretty much being like a almost like a superhero in a way, because you think, you know, vampires, like, oh, you're immortal, you can't be killed unless you have a, you know, stay through the heart or whatnot. You have superhuman strength. You can fly. You can shapeshift. You know, you can seduce any beautiful woman that you see.
You're basically human.
Yeah.
Oh, except for not coming out during the daytime.
Yeah, except for not coming out the daytime. Because if you come in the daytime, then you die. That's pretty much it.
You go poof.
Poof. So those are the main ones. And then, obviously, you have the movies. The movies tell us a whole bunch of things about
movies. Before we go into that.
Okay.
Like, all these accounts that Anthony just told you guys about, they were before the age of technology. Before instant messaging, text messaging. This was probably carrier pigeon era.
True.
How the hell is it possible for an instance of vampire sightings, or whatever you want to call this, in England to be mirrored or copycatted in Australia?
A lot of this could be word of mouth, and a lot of it could be something completely different.
Or it could be real.
And a lot of it could be lost in translation, too. Or it could be real.
It could be real. Because how would you get the info? I mean, I'm geographically speaking, from England to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you hop on a ship or whatever the mean of transport was back in that day, but, like, would your first thing to speak of would really be a vampire tale?
Something definitely scared people enough to believe in something like this.
And for everything to fall in line, it just makes it a little bit more, like, suspicious in a way. Like,
right.
How is it possible for accounts back in the day to be so close to each other? In detail and reference,
I'll say this: humans love to exaggerate things, and a lot of people like to exaggerate things. So, if you want attention for yourself as well, you're gonna say that these things are happening in your place as well. And there, you know, a lot of people want their 15 minutes of fame and whatnot. So, yeah. It could be that, and or it could be that, you know, this was actually real, and that people were actually seeing what they were believing. But also too, you have to think about that there could be like some exaggeration going on. There has to be some sort of, you know, I heard about this in another town, and they're getting a lot of publicity. They're getting a lot of people coming over there, and then you're like, oh, you know what? It's in our town too, or it's in our country too. That's we have one over here as well, and. But the similarities that all of them have, especially with the whole blood thing, is very consistent. So,
and for those times, it's very strange for it to be that consistent.
Yeah, true. I mean,
I know this might be not a good reference.
You have carrier pigeon, you have ships, you have messengers on horseback, or did they have horses back then?
I think so. I think horses maybe existed. Camels,
I don't know, maybe. Hey, maybe they trained a rat to do it. What's that rat's name on Harry Potter? I forgot. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. So, yeah, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, could have got around. But it is amazing, though, to think about that there were so many similarities around these countries with the same characteristics that all of these, you know, beings had. So that is something to talk about right there.
I mean, it's just weird, like, it would be like, especially in the age of technology that we live right now, seeing some type of food that's popular, let's say in LA, and then somebody down here gets whiff of it and replicates it.
Oh, you know what? You know what the best example of that is?
What?
Birria. I only ate birria tacos in LA when I went 2 years ago.
Oh, the ones they dip into the
sauce? Yeah, I only ate birria tacos in LA when I went there. Shout out Teddy's Red Tacos. But as soon as I ate that over there, dude, I don't know how long it was. I think it was maybe about a good 6-7 months. Everybody was eating birria tacos. And I was like, bro, like, what the hell? Like, this shit came super quick over here. Like, it was like night and day. Like, everybody was eating birria tacos.
See, and that's in the age of technology, and it took about 6-7 months.
Yeah.
That doesn't explain how.
I mean, maybe there was some places here that were serving birria tacos, but not on the massive scale. Yeah, they weren't mainstream. And now everybody likes birria tacos, but there's only one good place to have birria tacos, and I'm not telling it at all.
Because it's my secret spot.
It's my secret spot.
And you can't have it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you have all of these influences from Vlad, Elizabeth Bathory. The non-humanoid creatures that could just be animals drinking blood, like Chupacabra. You have all of these examples portraying characters that we see in movies today. And there are a lot of vampire movies out there. Do you happen to have a favorite vampire movie?
Favorite vampire movie? I remember seeing one as a kid, but I can't really remember the name of it.
Was it Interview with the Vampire?
I don't think so.
With Brad Pitt?
No.
Was it Brad Pitt? I think it was Brad Pitt.
I mean, other than the one we both talked about, but I really don't want to go into that one yet.
Which one?
The one we talked about.
Which one are we talking about? You're not going to tell me?
All right, guys. We both are
in love with Twilight. Oh, man. No.
We both love Twilight. We're going to just come out and say it. It was bound to... It's better you heard it from us first.
Mm-hmm.
Man, honestly, I want to say the first vampire movie I ever watched was probably like My Mom Went on a Date with a Vampire. Like the Disney Channel one or the Nick one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first one I ever saw.
I think the first one I ever saw was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The movie, not the TV series. The movie was way better than the TV series. Well,
it was called The Little Vampire. Oh, my dumbass right here.
The Little Vampire? That's the one, that Disney one?
Yeah.
Oh, what a loser.
That was a good one, man. What a
loser, man. Lesser. It seems that every country has their own vampire story or their own vampire folklore, because there's Russian vampires, there's Mexico vampires, there's Asian, obviously I talked about Asian vampires. So what do these vampires want? Like, what do they want? Do they just want to live immortality? Are they longing for something? Do they want to feel alive again? You know, what could be the issue, or what is the constant that keeps them going? Like, what gets them out of the coffin every morning or every night? I guess you would say.
They want your stimulus check.
I don't want mine because I ain't getting one. So, some of the ways that these people battled vampires was with the weapons at the time. They used what they thought would work against vampires, and that was crucifix, rosaries, holy water. They would use silver.
Garlic.
There'd be silver, garlic, and man, you know what? I've been watching a lot of Blade lately. So he says crosses don't do shit, and I believe him. So he said garlic and silver are the best. Oh, and sunlight. There you go. A lot of these people were in, just to go back in these ancient times, that these people would have these mass hysterias about these people who were, they thought were rising back from the grave again. They would re-exhume coffins.
Just to make sure that they weren't vampires. Make sure they're still dead.
And make sure they're still dead. Now, in North America, we did have a tuberculosis outbreak. And ...1860, somewhere around there. You know, TB was pretty big. And what TB was is that it would, as the physical exterior way, it would pretty much leave your skin pale, and it would look like, from another person's perspective, that your life force was draining from you. So people were, in the whole mass hysteria thing about the vampires and everything, people would think that those people were turning into vampires. Now, what they didn't know, well, early on they didn't know, is that the TB was contagious. And it could spread to members of their family and their household.
Ring a bell, guys?
So what people would say is that when the infected one died and the other one started to get infected and they started getting pale and having their life force drained, they would automatically assume that the first one who died was the vampire, and that guy was coming back, or girl, woman, man, was coming back at night, sucking their life forces away and going back into their grave, their coffin. So what some people did, they exhumed the graves, hammered a stake into their heart or head, and then recovered the coffin and redid everything. Problem is that wasn't what was happening. These people were already infected because they were around. They already had got the contagion, the germ, so...
They died from it. They opened up the coffin, and in terms by their own fear, got infected.
That's a pretty good one, too. I didn't think about that. I'm not sure, because I don't think there was any sort of... unless they got, maybe some sort of blood or saliva...
Well, if you're going to
put... From the body...
If you're going to put a cross in them, blood is going to squirt out. Mm. Back then, I don't think people were hygienic as hell. I don't even know if gloves were invented back then.
I would have to look up what rigor mortis does whenever you
squirt a... When was gloves invented?
I don't know. But they... that's one of the issues. That was one of the things that was happening about the vampire hysteria in North America, which was a lot of... mainly cause of the tuberculosis. So, that being said... There was mass hysteria all over the place.
Sound familiar, guys? Mass hysteria. Yep, mass hysteria, guys. So, ring a bell? Kind of like what we're going through right fucking now. Mm. Pandemic, outbreaks, people losing their shit. And it all came from eating a bat.
Mm.
Stay woke.
Mm. History repeats itself, you're trying to say?
History repeats itself. Stay woke. Secure the bag, hunty.
So... with a lot of those, and this didn't just stop with the TB victims. This also started with a lot of other people kind of taking notice of what was going on with the TB victims and them exhuming the graves and, you know, putting a stake in, you know, the body, basically just re-killing the person all over again. But during decomposition, you know, obviously the body
decomposition
is that what it's called? Yeah, decomposing. The bodies will bloat. There will be flatulence going on.
You're going to shit yourself.
Yeah.
South Park didn't lie to you.
There's going to be, you know, evidence to where it seems like you're kind of getting bigger, as in, you know, fatter. Basically, it's just the gases, you know, releasing from your body and just trying to excrete their ways.
Escape.
So when people would dig up the body... They would be like, oh, wow, like he's been up eating or she's been up eating.
Because they're fucking inflated.
Inflated, exactly. So people automatically thought that.
Vampire.
And that's what leads us to what people will believe with just very little evidence. And that was the whole vampire craze. That's pretty much how everything really, really got passed down from generation to generation, you know, country to country. And it's just basically just a lot of word of mouth that was going on and, you know, little information about how bodies react to, and also too about where exactly you are in the climate of where you're buried at.
That has a lot to do with it.
Has a lot to do with it as well. So a lot of this was a lot of I almost forgot a very important thing about the whole decomposition of your body is that people were also not only under the influence of that, you know, the person was eating and feeding. Some of these people were also buried alive. So they were not dead when they were buried. You know, some of them were just maybe unconscious or had some sort of issue where their heart rate was slowed and, you know, but they were still alive. So when they woke up and they were inside of they found themselves inside of a coffin, claw marks, you know, nails all over the coffin inside trying to escape, you know, beating, you know, your head, your hands, everything across the coffin itself led to blood being on your face, your mouth, your fingernails, everything like that. So when people would exhume these graves, what they find was the person's body was covered with blood, like he's been out feeding on people. So there was a lot of that going on. There is a story about a village who they would think that people were not dead yet, or people who they thought were people who they would think that were not dead yet, they would attach a bell tied to a string that led all the way inside of the coffin. So if a person ever awoke inside the coffin, they would just pull the string and the bell on the ground, people would hear that and know that, hey, that person's not dead. So that was a way that they figured out how to determine if people were alive when they buried them. So they, you know, obviously they wouldn't suffer a fate of being buried alive. True story.
Yeah, but at that point, like her panic and all that stuff and moving around, you're just eating up all your oxygen. Would they even make it to them before they die?
I don't know. That'd be a word of mouth. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how long you have oxygen inside of a enclosed structure like that. I could look that up.
I'm just saying. The bell is a good idea, but like, well, it's older times. I'm sure they didn't think of it. They were just like, oh, man, I got an idea. Bell above ground. Somebody's not actually dead. We'll get them out.
It's pretty functional. I mean, it's pretty ingenious almost. I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, what else could you do, honestly, besides, you know, tie a string to a bell and bury it with the, you know, the casket, the body. Pretty ingenious, I guess.
I mean, did they test it? How did they know it was ingenious?
I'm pretty sure they tested it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure they saved some lives that were...
What if the string was so short that the string never made it into the coffin?
I don't know. That'd be really fucked up.
Well, it's dark as hell. How would you know where the string would be at?
I guess you just feel around. I don't know. I don't know how thick these strings were, or how. Or maybe it was a rope. I don't know. Maybe it was a rope or something like that.
It was a bungee cord.
It was a bungee cord. So they just pulled it, and the parachute comes out.
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay. So, with all that, you know, we go from word of mouth, we go to Mesisteria, we go to, I guess, not acceptance, but just like kind of trying to defend, like, okay, there's vampires out there, so I can't do anything about it, so how am I going to defend myself? A lot of misconception about the whole, you know, vampires come into your house unless you invite them into your house. It kind of also does a little contrast with our other story that we did here a while back called the Black Eyed Children, where the Black Eyed Children would come to your door and ask you, like, hey, can I use your phone? Or can I get something to drink? Or can I, you know, use your restroom or something like that? And they can't come into your house unless you invite them. The whole notion of that, you know, was the whole, that's the way you detect a vampire. Like, well, I don't want you to come into my house, or I, you know, just stay on the front porch or something, you know, something like that. So that was one way that they tried to deter vampires from coming to their house. Another one was them hanging wreaths of garlic above their door. And then obviously keeping, you know, crosses and, you know,
holy water
nearby. So that was one of the defenses that people portrayed when it came to the vampires. Of course, with everything, you know, capitalism always wins, gang. There was vampire hunters, you know, during these times, during, you know, times of, like, you know, pay me money and I'll go hunt the vampires that are harming your family or harassing your family. So obviously that was written down in, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula of Abraham Van Helsing, a, you know, vampire hunter who hunted with, you know, crossbows and holy water weapons and, you know, all crazy things. And he wasn't the only one. There was also other people who would claim to, you know, hunt these cryptids or these mythological, you know, beings down, and, you know, people would pay them money to do it. There's, you know, witch hunters, vampire hunters, monster hunters, you know, everything like that kind of fit into one, you know, certain bill. So yeah, there was, you know, market for this, you know, hysteria, you know, the more people talked about there's vampires here, the more people who would go and claim to be, you know, vampire hunters or, you know, these people. So there was always room for profit there. Now, with all that information, we're going to jump forward a little bit to the modern age where vampirism pretty much still exists. And when I was, you know, early on in the podcast, I talked to you about, like, yeah, you want to get sucked, you know, you or something like that. I don't know, that came out wrong. That's what she said. And there are, you know, I don't know if they're cults or just groups of people who have a fascination with vampirism and who actually either go as far as light as just sitting in front of someone and just drawing their aura or their spirituality or their energy, I guess, to them, thinking that I'm low on my aura, I'm low on my energy, and I'm going to, you know, draw some of your, you know, energy to me and help me out. there's those types of people. Then there's types of people who actually do go the full way of drinking other people's bloods from their body. And it's not, it's from what I've read, it's not the whole I'm going to sink my teeth into your neck kind of thing. It's more like I'm just going to poke a hole with a needle on your back or your arm. And once the blood starts coming out, I'm going to drink it. This is more or less for them to either reach a certain level of spirituality with themselves. It's maybe sometimes even a sexual thing. It's maybe a just a fascination with it, honestly. And then there are some people who actually just do both. So there is, you know, certain groups, especially I think there is one in New Orleans where they do practice this. And you know, there is a membership about this. There is people who actually are, I'm not sure if they're on a waiting list or just wanting to do this, like have their blood drink by somebody else. So like I said, it's all that fascination with lore and, you know, I don't know if it's necessary power over another person or just wanting to reach a certain level of, you know, philosophy within yourself. So, yeah, there are vampire things out there that really exist today. And that's sort of the modern take on everything. I mean, if people today could see blood donors and, you know, things like that, people would consider that to be maybe a form of vampiric practice. You know, people go into a blood bank to donate their blood to help someone else. You know, people today see that as something normal and something as a just cause, you know, very, you know, it's a noble cause. And people back then, you know, probably look at that and be like, oh man, that's bad. You know, you're giving your blood away to somebody else for them to, you know, to have it. So there's a lot of give and take with it. And the vampires are just, it's a fascinating folklore that I like.
I mean, man, what's to stop to say that that isn't going on at blood banks? Yeah, some of this blood might get used for what they tell us that it's going to get used for, but who's to say they don't have a vampire that funded all these blood banks and is like living off of this blood? I mean, yeah.
That's true.
You never know. I never know, bro.
Hey, man, that's crazy. But the
I'm just saying, you never know. Honestly and truly, you don't ever know. Just because something is said to be made or doing this, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. Nobody knows what happens behind closed doors.
Yeah, closed doors tell a lot of secrets.
I mean, just like that one movie, No More Locked Doors.
Man, Dead Man Tell No Tales either. So, of the most recent, anything recently happening as far as like vampire scares going on, there was one particular one that happened in either September or October 2017 that mob violence in Malawi related to a vampire scare that killed about 6 people accused of being vampires.
Where did you say it took up place?
Malawi.
So not in the States.
Not in the States, no. Malawi. So that was one of the recent ones that I've seen on here. So you see the whole vampire thing is kind of dying down. A lot of what we get from vampire now is like from movies and television and video games and whatnot. Obviously.
Sorry guys, that was our resident vampire dog.
He's a werewolf guard dog. He protects us against the vampires.
You know, like that scene in Terminator where you walk by and the dog smells your hand? Yeah, you gotta walk by this dog and let him smell your hand.
Yeah, if he's good, he'll shake your hand. If he's not, then he'll bark you away.
Oh, dude, you know what I just remember too? Don't they say that vampires don't have reflections?
Yeah, yeah.
They I just saw reflection. The mirror, so I was like, whoa. Reflections.
Well, I see your reflection, so it's cool. And like I said, that, you know, that brings us to like all the notable vampires that we know today. Obviously, my favorite. He's not a full vampire, but he's half vampire, half human. Obviously, that would be my boy, Eric. You don't even know who Eric is, right? Huh. AKA known as Blade, the vampire hunter in Marvel Comics. And he's just a complete fucking badass. And I can't wait for his Disney Plus series to be coming out. You have a favorite vampire. Or you have a vampire kind of thing too, right? With some fucking video game you were talking about earlier?
Oh, yeah. But mine is like in Skyrim. Especially, I don't know. I'm sure you guys have played Skyrim. But in the Dawnguard DLC, where you do this whole quest of the vampire, it was a pretty good quest. Pretty fun. pretty fucking fun.
Is it?
Well, I mean, you would have to play it to understand how fun it is. And then, like, the boss battle where you actually fight the vampire, you got to get kind of crafty with it, because it took me a couple times to beat him.
You just suck.
No, because it was like, he would be in the vampire form and you can attack him, but also in that form, he would drain your blood with a spell. Then he could also teleport into bat form and end up somewhere else, and you got to find him. So you got to make sure you get all your potions, all your different kinds of stuff, and be ready.
That's right.
Well, yeah, well, since we were talking about Blade, I finally was able to find that one movie that I watched as a kid.
Which was?
At my uncle's house. I think the movie's called Vampires. Funny, right? Apparently it was a...
Yeah, that was an awesome, awesome movie. Love that movie. That was actually a circumstance where he actually battled a, like, king vampire or some... It wasn't just, like, a regular, any run-of-the-mill vampire. This was actually, like, the king vampire where he had, like, even more super strength and everything like that, so...
Well, I don't remember the exact scenarios of the movies. I just remember watching it when I was younger.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. VHS. It's kind of creepy, but... This segment, this episode would not be complete unless we talked about one of the most, how do I say this without getting in trouble, one of the most attractive vampires, Selma Hayek from Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, come on, bro. You remember that? I've never seen it. Just look at the title. I think she's probably on the title, From Dusk Till Dawn. Yeah, that was an awesome, awesome movie.
1996.
My boy George Clooney boy.
Nah, he's probably Clooney not boys.
He's with your boy Tarantino, man. Don't you like all these indie films and all that other stuff?
Yeah, dude. Old chick Quentin Tarantino did do it.
Yeah, I told you. Summer Hike, bro. I think people right Danny now are Trejo. Just like Danny Trejo was in there.
George
Machete.
Clooney.
Machete was in there, bro.
And Salma Hayek.
So, anyways, with that, guys, if you guys ever encounter a vampire or fucking think you encounter, if you think that you are in the presence of a vampire, I would say first, don't invite them into your house. Have them look at a mirror to see if you see the reflection. If you don't, then you need to close that door and put as much garlic and, what else is it? Paprika? I don't know. Something like that.
No, I think it's just garlic, honestly.
Garlic and something spicy in front of the door so they don't come in. And go to bed and...
Say three Hail Marys.
Take three Hail Marys and... Take a bath with some mouthwash, too. I mean, not mouthwash, some Rumpel, because I think that thing kills pretty much everything.
Literally.
So, you got anything else?
No. I mean...
If you can get silver bullets, get silver bullets, because those work wonders. I heard from certain sources.
Just if the only thing I would add is if you happen to stumble across some good vampire movies, let us know. Let us know, especially if they're on Netflix, because I can watch it. But then again, I could always just buy it.
Well, you're a big baller like that. All right, guys, this is to we love you. If you stuck around all the way, we love you. Cheers to new beginnings, and we'll see you next time.
Later.